If I had a title this morning to the thoughts we have on our heart, it would be, "What If?" So if you want to just keep that little phrase in your mind, I'm going to be reading out of the book of Habakkuk. It's a very short little book. Has only three chapters. And I'm going to be reading various verses, and I have them written down so that I can read them in that order. I'm going to start in Habakkuk, the third chapter. Verse 1 says, "A prayer of Habakkuk, the prophet." Sometimes we think about someone that is a prophet, a person, a man of God. We think about a prophet as one who walks with God, communicates with God. God communicates with them. We might think about in our day, we might call that person a minister. We believe that God calls. It's a special calling. We don't just decide, "I want to be a minister." And certainly we do not go and learn how to be a minister. It has never been the practice of the Church of God, and I might say even the will of God, that we do such things. God has a way that He wants to ordain, and He wants to teach. He wants to train, and oftentimes it takes many years. I don't know the history of Habakkuk, but I know from this scripture he was a prophet. And in this particular verse or chapter, it is about his prayer. Verse 2 says, just giving a portion of this verse, "O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid." Sometimes we can hear the voice of the Lord and experience what Habakkuk felt in this chapter. A saint of God, just because we are a saint, does not mean we will not have emotions. We are all human beings of the earth, and we are going to feel emotions. Possibly even feel dread at the word of the Lord. Verse 3 says, "God came," in the last part of that verse, "His glory covered the heavens, and the earth was full of His praise." Now think about it, He's praying. We can learn from those recorded prayers in the Word of God. It will pay us to examine them and learn from them. It will pay you and me to recognize that God is God and to also give Him glory and praise in our prayers, to include that in our prayers. I believe it gets His attention. Do we need to get the Lord's attention? I believe that we have to get His attention. It's not just everybody that says, "Lord, Lord," the scripture says, that will enter in. But it'll be that one that is doing the will of the Father. Doing His will also is important when we come before Him in prayer and recognize His greatness. Recognize, did you know that I believe there are times that He wants us to say, I know that Thou art the one true God. It's important. It's important for our own faith to repeat those words in our prayer and throughout our time. As we go about our work, you can pray. And you can say, Lord, I know Thou art God. I know that Thou art the one true God. So he is acknowledging God in verse 3. Verse 4, it says, His brightness was as the light. I am thankful for the light of God. Aren't you? We're not walking in darkness. We're walking in light. Oh, I want to tell you, the light is very important to the child of God. Without it, we will return to darkness. And the scripture says that darkness will be great. And the exhortation of Jesus Christ to each one of us, walk in the light while ye have the light. So Habakkuk here, he's recognizing the light of God. And he's acknowledging it. Thou art the light. It will be good for us to acknowledge that also. But the last part of verse 4 says, and there was the hiding of his power. He changes just a little bit here. And I believe it's a lesson for all of us today, that we need to acknowledge the light of God, but to also understand that sometimes he hides his power for a time. Not forever, but for a time. Verse 6, it says, he stood and he measured the earth. He beheld and drove asunder the nations. And the everlasting mountains were scattered, and the perpetual hills did bow. His ways are everlasting. Sometimes we don't really comprehend the greatness of God, that he is able to measure things. He's able to weigh things in his hand. We have a song that says, he has the whole world in his hands. Someone with a vision of the greatness of God wrote those words. I'm glad that he is the one true God and the one that has all power in heaven and in earth, and that he is fully able to take care of me, to take care of you. The song that was sung as a special was, I don't know how to guide my own life. I don't know how to do it. But there's someone that does know. And I'm so thankful to know him and that he knows me. Verse 7. I saw the tents in affliction. The curtains of the land did tremble. I can't say that I fully understand that scripture, but I see an emotion in it. I see affliction. Did you know affliction can also affect our emotions? And when it said that the curtains of the land did tremble, trembling is an emotion. It speaks about what that emotion is, possibly fear, dread. We're living in a time where if we looked too carefully at the future or what we think is the future, we might would tremble. There's coming an election. Maybe most of us don't even know who to vote for. We don't know the future. We could say maybe the curtains of the land are trembling. This land. We're not talking about spiritual things in this part. We're talking about literal. Our government. Our nation. We've had a wonderful history. Our nation was founded on wonderful principles. It was founded on the Word of God. It was founded on truth. It was founded on prayer. And in our lifetime, including these children and young people today, we have seen a lot of that change. And maybe there's been times we have trembled ourselves, been a little bit fearful ourselves. Skipping down to verse 13, thou went forth for the salvation of thy people. The writing here changes just a little bit. He brings in salvation. I don't know what we would do without salvation, do you? Verse 16. When I heard, my belly trembled, my lips quivered. You know, most of the time we don't use that word belly. We call it the stomach. Sounds a little bit more refined. But how many of you have quivered and trembled in your stomach? Dread, fear, apprehension. He said, when I heard this, my belly trembled and my lips quivered at the voice. The latter part of that verse says, I trembled in myself that I might rest in the day of trouble. I believe that, I think all of us can relate to that verse, that from time to time we have trembled, we have been fearful. But we had a vision of rest in the day of trouble. Got to still remember that you're human. We still have our feelings. I'm going to go back up to the second verse now of Habakkuk, the third chapter, and finish it out. And it says, O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known. What would he be talking about? In the midst of your years, my years, how long have you lived for the Lord? Did you know that mark that on the calendar of when you started living for the Lord is forever in your mind? Oh, I'm not able to tell you the year because I'm not very good at retaining the number, but I remember the place. I remember the event. I have never forgotten it. My husband can remember the year better than me. But I want to tell you, in the midst of the years, in the middle of your years, he's revived the work in us over and over, hasn't he? Have you ever had to be revived and renewed and revisited? Last Sunday we had a little message on, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we will reap if we faint not. I have personally had to be revived and renewed many times. I love this passage right here. Oh Lord, it's part of his prayer, see. It needs to be your prayer. Recognize you might slip. We had as part of the message last Sunday about the five that were wise and the five that were foolish. And they lived life. and something slipped out of some of their lives. They didn't keep their vessels filled with that oil. It can happen to you and me. So we need this prayer. Lord, revive me in the midst of my years. In the midst of the years, make known. What is he saying? I think he would be saying, make known to me where I stand before you. Don't let me be deceived. Don't let me be blind. Let me know where I stand. There's many people today that are blind and deceived and are believing a lie of the devil because he wants us to have a way that seems right. And the end of that way is destruction. He doesn't want you to see that. So Lord, revive us in the midst of years. Make it known. Now I want to go to Habakkuk 2. I'm going to read 1 through 4. Trust that the Lord can help us to connect these scriptures with what has already been said. It says, I will stand upon my watch, and I will set me upon the tower, and I will watch to see what he will say unto me. Do you ever watch to see what he will say unto you? Most of the time when we think of someone speaking, we think of hearing some words. But he's saying, I'm standing at my watch, and I'm going to watch to see what he will say unto me. I think the watch of what he says unto us is the events that he allows in our life. Those things that he brings into our life are to be speaking to us. They've got to be saying something to us. We're not always going to hear the voice of the Lord. We're not always going to, we may miss it because it's a still small voice. But when he gets our attention with the event that he brings into our life, and I think we all understand that. We have loved ones, and when we see affliction come upon their body, what do we say? Do we only ask, oh, Lord, deliver them out of that? No, we say, what do we say? We say, Lord, deal with their hearts with this event that you're allowing in their lives. And it is the same with you and me. Don't just overlook and push under the rug the events that come in your life. Allow the events of your life to speak to you. Because he's wanting to say something to you. And he said here, I will watch to see what he will say unto me. And then it says, and what I will answer when I am reproved. Sometimes the Lord does reprove us with events that come into our life. He's getting our attention in the midst of our years, see? And we always have to have an answer. God does not bring the things into your life and speak to you with those events without you considering and giving an answer. The next verse, verse 2, it says, the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain that he may run that readeth it. Now, when we say and speak about a vision, I always think of the scripture that says, where there is no vision, the people perish. I need my vision to be sharp and keen. And I want to tell you there is a work happening right in our atmosphere that is trying to blur the vision, blur your vision, and my vision. Right now, it's happening. We have to be awake. We have to be alert. We have to be sensitive. Don't slumber and sleep and lose your oil. So he said to have a vision that was plain, that he that may run can read it. It'll be plain. And then look at verse 3. It changes just a little bit. And it says, for the vision is yet for an appointed time. But at the end of it, at the end it shall speak. Something else for me to watch for and listen for. It will not lie. And though it tarry, wait for it. Because it will surely come. It will not tarry. What does that say to you and me? I think this speaks of faith. I think that you and I need to have our faith strengthened every day. I do. And we have to seek for it. And we have to ask for it. And we have to allow then those things that come into my life to strengthen my faith. Jesus said, when I come again, what did he say? He asked the question. He didn't say there would be no faith. He just said, will I find faith? And it's up to me now for him to find faith in me. It's up to you for him to find faith in you. The reason I link faith up to this, it goes back to the message last Sunday of waiting on the Lord. If we do not have a faith that can wait for the answer, we will fail. Verse 4, just giving you a portion of that, it says, behold, the just shall live by his faith. You've got to have faith. The scripture says, have faith in God. Don't lose your faith. Let your faith grow. Let it be strengthened. Because that's what you're going to have to live by. Your faith. Not my faith. Not somebody else's faith. We can be influenced by other people's faith. We can be encouraged by other people's faith. But let us all be one that will encourage someone else with our faith. Help us, Lord. Now I want to go to the last part of chapter 3. And it changes a little bit here too. And it says, though the fig tree shall not blossom. That's where our thought comes in today. What if? He has said all of these things to admonish us to have faith. And then he says, what if the fig tree does not blossom? What if the fruit is not on the vine? What if the olive shall fail? I will have no oil. What if the fields shall yield no meat? What if the flock shall be cut off from the fold? And what if there shall be no herd in the stalls? This was of his time. You and I don't live in a time exactly producing this kind. We're not farmers, in other words. There are farmers. And if a farmer would say these things, what if the wheat would fail? What if the hail would come and I would have no wheat for an income? What if? We could say a lot of what ifs. He said, though, in verse 18, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. I have a Chain Thompson Bible, and I want to read some of the categories in which he directs the study from that particular verse. One of the words is trust. It wasn't very long ago we had a Bible study for our young people on divine healing. And the way the Lord presented it, and I say it was the Lord, because the three ministers here did not plan it. We each had our own burden. And the direction seemed to be that we each give our own burden. And it all came together and just fit together. But one of the things that we got out of that was that divine healing is really divine trust. There are doctrinal scriptures, and then there are testimonies of those who have done it. But trust. Did you know we need to learn to trust, whether it's for my body, whether it's for my bank account, whether it's for my family, whether it's for my home, whatever we have in our life, learning to trust. Learning to trust the one that helps us. It is a wonderful thing to learn to have trust. Trust in God. Another category or that you can study if you want to from this particular verse is confidence. Don't you know that you didn't always have the confidence that you have today? If you have grown in faith, if you trust has been developed, what did it do? It produced confidence in God. Oh, confidence is a wonderful, wonderful thing to have. So when you go before the Lord, you have confidence that he's listening to your prayers. In this particular passage, in these two verses, I would say, I read this somewhere, so I'm giving it to you as I read it. It's the highest degree of trembling. Because in verse 17, everything is taken away. Nothing's left, no food for life to live. But it also said that it's the highest degree of triumph. To have that resignation, to have that confidence that if this did happen, what if it happened? What are you going to do? What was the prophet saying? He considered it all. He considered his prayer before the Lord. He considered the vision to wait for it. And then he said, I know what I'm going to do. I am going to rejoice. I'll tell you what, I need that. I need to learn better how to rejoice when everything isn't going exactly as we would like for it to go. To have joy in the God of what? My salvation. We value our salvation. It is a gift. We hold on to our salvation. Oh, if you didn't have salvation, where would you be? We need to have joy in the fact that he has saved us and delivered us from ourselves. our sins that were so ugly. One scripture says that you and I are to remember that pit from which we have been digged. What he brought us out of. Oh, young people, you have chosen the right way to live for the Lord and not to have all of those horrible things in that pit. You were still delivered out of a pit. You still were. Those things that you never have to plow through, that were in your mind, that you had, that you went through, that you partook of, and that you wish you hadn't when you got saved. Young people, you've chosen right. Don't allow the enemy to ever tell you that maybe I need to go out and taste of sin so I will really love the Lord. No, you don't need to do that. You can love the Lord more because he has saved you from it. Thank the Lord. Amen. So the prophet used these things. And I think he is saying, these things are common to the people of God today. Calamities. Disasters. Did you know we could meet a disaster today? Did you know there could be a calamity come in your life tomorrow if you live? What are you going to do with it? Is it going to affect you to the point that you lose faith? Or are you going to choose, I'm going to rejoice in the Lord. I'm going to have joy in the God of my salvation. What if the financial system of our country failed? It's shaky. We hear a lot of things about our grandchildren and what they're going to, how they're going to handle this national debt that is beyond what our comprehension can hardly take in. But what if? Has it happened before? Our nation failed one time financially. It's called the Depression. And we had people in that time that could not bear it. They lost all of their money. They didn't have a penny. And we know that history says that some of them took their lives. Why? Because they didn't have any hope in God. But those that had their hope in God, though they ate beans and rice and rice and beans and potatoes, they survived it. What if? What if it happened to you now? What if you lost your home? What if you lost everything that you had? There are people that do that now. Oh, we have insurance. And I'm thankful that we do. That if our house should burn tomorrow, chances are we'd be able to recover some of those things that we lost. We'd be able to rebuild a house. But what would you do with God? What if the breadwinner of the house became too sick to be a breadwinner? Or even worse, what if he died? Us as women don't always realize how important that is until we lose them. Sister Irma, it's been said here in the service, She's been her own breadwinner for 18 years. That anniversary just passed. Do you think that she just ignored it? I know that she didn't. And I know that Sister Irma probably relived that day in every detail. But what has she done? Was her faith exhausted? Did she say, "Oh, poor me. I have to go out and I have to work now"? She never worked before, did she? She was a stay-home mom. She took care of her husband and her house. I don't mean to be lifting her up, but she's a good example. But what if? What if that is in my path? How are we going to handle it? What will I do? Will I be as Habakkuk? I will rejoice. I will have joy in the God of my salvation. It doesn't take very many of us to think about a character in the Bible that experienced total loss. Job had total loss. He lost all of his cattle and his servants and all of his children. I cannot imagine losing more than one child. The pain of losing one child is great, but to lose all of them is beyond my comprehension. But Job did. And then we know that his wife, when he became afflicted in his body from the crown of his head to the sole of his feet, was not an encouragement at all, just said, "Why don't you curse God and die?" And what was his answer? "You speak as a foolish woman. I'm not going to curse God and die. I am going to rejoice in the God of my salvation." Oh, we know he went through hard places before he came to that victorious end. But he didn't deny God. I think about David. There was a place where David and his men had gone to fight some battle and they came back. The town, the city that they lived in was totally burned and all of their wives and their children were gone. And then his men began to accuse him and said, wanted to kill him. And what did David do? "This is the end of my life." What did he say? The word says he encouraged himself in the Lord. And the Lord helped him to recover it all. I'll tell you, we need to encourage ourselves in the Lord. If any what if comes into our life. Paul said in one place, he said, "None of these things move me. None of it." And he went through some terrible things, but they didn't move him. Are we going to be moved? Or are we going to rejoice in the God of our salvation? There is a couple of verses I wanted from a songbook, and I didn't bring it up. If someone could just hand me a songbook. These are familiar songs and verses. We probably all could sing them by memory. But I remember when the Lord inspired this song to me. Number 300. You like that song? You know what that song is? I probably don't even have to give you the title. But I want to read a couple of verses as part of the thought today. Verse 4 says, "Tell me not of heavy crosses, nor of burdens hard to bear, for I have found this great salvation makes each burden light appear. And I love to follow Jesus, gladly counting all but dross. What is dross? Something of no value at all. Worldly honors, all forsaking for the glory of the cross. Verse 5. Oh, the cross has wondrous glory. Oft I've proved this to be true. Have you proved the glory of your cross? Remember, you have a cross. I have a cross. They're not the same. It's those events that he allows in our life that becomes our cross. Unique to me. Unique to you. Have you tasted of the glory of the cross? Have you proved it? When I'm in the way so narrow, I can see a pathway through, and how sweetly Jesus whispers, take the cross. You don't need to fear. For I've tried the way before thee, and the glory lingers near. I have one more song, number 500. One of my favorite songs. The Lord blessed it to me a number of years ago. Verse 1. My dearest friend is Jesus. On him I do depend. He says he will be with me. Where's your faith? Let your faith be strengthened. Believe in God. Believe also in me, Jesus said. Believe that I will be with you until the end, until the journey's end. And the chorus is, get in touch with God. Oh, I want to tell you, that's the message today. What if? Doesn't matter what if. Whatever comes into my life, I'm going to close with in Job, the 22nd chapter. Oh, this is a precious portion of scripture right here. And I'm only going to read just some of these verses in closing. 22nd, starting verse 21. It says, acquaint now thyself with him. How do we get acquainted? We have a relationship. How did you get acquainted with your companion? You first had to be able to talk to each other. And then it developed. You're going to have to learn to talk to God. Tell him all of your troubles and allow him then to work in your life and get acquainted with him. Get acquainted now. Acquaint thyself with him. Be at peace. Thereby good shall come unto thee. Oh, it may not seem good all the time. But he said, if it waits, tarry for it. Wait for it. Then verse 25. Yea, the Almighty shall be thy defense. And thou shalt have plenty of silver. This means plenty of strength. The reference on that word silver is strength. Verse 26, for then thou shalt have thy delight in the Almighty and shalt lift up thy face unto God. I want to tell you, that's all that this whole message is about. What if? What if this comes into my life? Be like Habakkuk. I will rejoice. I will have joy in the God of my salvation. Verse 27 in closing. Thou shalt make thy prayer unto him, and he shall hear thee, and thou shalt pay thy vows. Thank the Lord. Pray for me. I need this message. Amen.